Hello, it's the Audio Drama Production Podcast. My name's Matthew and I'll be your host for the next half an hour or so. Unless you listen at double speed, in which case I'd encourage you to put it back to normal speed and see how stoned I probably sound. I'm not stoned, incidentally. On the contrary, I'm excited to present to you this week's guest, Mr. Rob Walsh of media host Libsyn. Rob is one of the key figures in podcasting today and has been since the medium began 12 or so years ago, or last month if you read what's published in Wired. In this chat, we covered a few different topics, so I make no secret of the fact that we recommend that you host your show with Libsyn. And by the way, you can get a free month there if you use the coupon code ADPP. And we talk about some of the reasons why you might want to host there. Reasons like having your show listed in pretty much any place podcasts are consumed, getting help with monetization, and having your very own smartphone app built for your show as well. But this isn't an advert for Libsyn. We also talk about growing your audience, iTunes categories, and the myths of new and noteworthy. I started the chat, though, by asking Rob about SoundCloud. A lot of new podcasters end up hosting their show there because, on the surface, it looks like a great platform to upload and download audio. So the question is it?
No, I mean, I always say, what's the most important thing to you? Is it building your own brand or building SoundCloud's brand? Because SoundCloud is one of those services where all their tools, all of them, have one goal, build up SoundCloud brand. Everything's about driving people back to SoundCloud and promoting SoundCloud. That's SoundCloud's business model. It's to send people there so they can say they have so many millions of unique people consuming content there and then sell. Because it ain't about making money. And it ain't about podcasting. So if you care at all about your brand, long-term, short-term, don't host on SoundCloud. If you don't want to host on, you know, I'll talk about Libsyn, but if you don't want to host on Libsyn, find someone else, go to Blueberry or Podbean, but do not host on SoundCloud. For a podcaster and brand person, it's probably the worst place you could possibly host.
With SoundCloud, obviously, and I don't really want to dwell on it, but they have a free service and they have a paid service. If you're someone who's starting out and you maybe don't know yet if podcasting's for you, you might be tempted to go down the free route. Would you necessarily be saving money in the long run, considering that when your podcast grows, you might have to do quite a lot of work further down the line to sort things out?
Podcasting it's a hobby. And any hobby, you know, you should look at it that way. I mean, most people don't realize it, but most podcasters are in it as a hobby. And any hobby, you're going to spend a little money. And if you're even semi-serious about it, spend a little money, get a good hosting service that's going to be with you if the hobby happens to turn into a passion or turns into a business. So take the time up front, get the right hosting, look around, find the right one for you long-term. And spend a few dollars. Free hosting, you're going to get what you pay for. And there's been a lot of it. And the worst thing about free hosting is those services tend not to be around in the long term. So even if you don't go with SoundCloud and you go with someone else, there's a good chance that free hosting service will be shut down sometime in the future. I mean, that's what the history for the last 12 years has been.
I've spoke about this on the podcast before, but when we started out, we didn't really know anything. We went with Jellycast and we paid a one-off fee and everything was fine. Like, we just paid this one-off fee, we were kicking along, and then one day got an email saying we'd exceeded our bandwidth and we had to pay like $20-odd to get the tap turned back on till the end of the month. So we got our fingers burnt there and we realised that was totally unsustainable. And that's when we moved to Libsyn. We promote Libsyn on this podcast. It's where we recommend people host. And recently, Libsyn have been rolling out a whole load of new features as well, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's our goal at Libsyn, is to help you as a podcaster be everywhere. We want you to be able to say to your audience, find my show everywhere but Pandora. I mean, that's the goal. And with Libsyn, you now can publish out to iHeartRadio if you've been with us for 2 months. You can have a Google Play Music destination. We have a relationship with Spotify. We've always had the iTunes services feed as well. You can even publish to SoundCloud. So if you want to use SoundCloud as a destination, that's great. It's just not your primary place. You want to go to Stitcher and TuneIn. We allow you to turn the audio into video and publish to YouTube, turn the audio to video and publish as native video into Facebook, publish messages out to Twitter, to LinkedIn. So our service is about getting you out everywhere. And then the other big one is having your own smartphone apps, having your own iOS app, your own Android app, so that you're then in the app stores, which opens up your shows to the potential audience of another 1.5 billion people each month. It's an app-centric world. I mean, smartphone consumption is quickly rising. It has been. It was over 77% in July. By the end of the year, it'll be over 80% where consumption is directly done on the mobile devices. So it's a mobile world, and in the mobile world of smartphones, everything's about the app. And people like having apps for the different things. And the majority of podcast listeners, this according to Edison Research, is that 79% of podcast listeners listen to 3 or fewer podcasts in a month. So most podcast listeners find a few podcasts they like, and that's it. So if you can be that icon on their home screen, this comes back to branding. Now you're branding on their home screen, on their smartphone. So it's just convenient. They don't have to go and sync anything. They just go open your app and listen to the latest episodes. It makes it, I always like to say this, if people can listen or play Angry Birds, they can listen to your podcast. That's how you want it to look and seem.
A lot of podcasters are obviously addicted to their statistics and get a bit frustrated if they don't see those, you know, big spikes and that huge increase. You always talk about download numbers on the feed, Libsyn's official podcast. I think the last episode that I listened to, the stat was, I think it was 169 or 79 downloads within a month for an episode. That puts you in the top 50%, is it, of podcasters?
Yeah, I recorded a new episode 2 hours ago, and we were talking about the numbers. And so this is for episodes that were released in the month of July as measured at the end of August. And when we looked at that, so on average, all the episodes released on Libsyn had were 45 days old. The median number, 50% of the episodes had 164 downloads or more, and 50% had 164 downloads or greater. So if you're getting 170, 200 downloads per episode, you're better than half the episodes out there in podcast land. And all the people that host on Libsyn pay, so our numbers are probably going to be higher than what you're going to see from a lot of these services that have free hosting where people aren't as serious. So, and if you're getting over 200 downloads per episode, you're doing better than half the shows out there.
We can't talk about podcasting without mentioning iTunes. There's a lot of, and I know this is a subject you talk a lot quite about, but new and noteworthy, there's a lot of obsession around getting in new and noteworthy because, of course, when you get in there, that's when you get those thousands of downloads and you could make lots of money and retire on your podcast, can't you?
If you get featured on New and Noteworthy on the homepage of iTunes, sure, potential for that to kind of happen. If you listen to episode, I think it was 233, I did on Podcast 411 with Aaron Mankey from Lore. That's how his show took off, was getting featured in New and Noteworthy on the front page by Apple. But you can't game it. The front page is 100% hand curated, and getting featured on New and Noteworthy other than on the front page usually results in nothing to a pump of 100 downloads per episode, and it goes away after the feature is over. People put way too much credit on promotion of New and Noteworthy, and the reality is getting featured in New and Noteworthy isn't going to help one iota if your content's not very good anyway. So you have to really concentrate on good content. You know, Aaron was lucky in that when he did get featured, he was already an established podcaster. He had another show before that, so he knew what he was doing, and he had some good content out of the gate, and that's what got noticed and why he got featured. But at the end of the day, his show continued to grow and grow and grow and grow, not because of the feature and the continued features, but rather because of word of mouth from people that listen to the show. And that's more important than anything else. I always like to say, great content trumps bad marketing or no marketing, and bad content trumps great marketing. So just make sure you have good content.
With the iTunes rankings, I know that, like in certain podcast circles, people will say each other, let's all give each other five star ratings and reviews. That I've heard you say in the past, that won't even affect your iTunes ranking, will it? To just get a whole load of
top 200 lists have absolutely nothing to do with ratings and reviews. It's only about how many new subscribers, people that have gone into iTunes or the podcast app, click subscribe in the last week with a weighted average for the last 24, 48, and 72 hours, which is why when you launch a new show, all your promotion should be done right away. And as you launch each episode, you should do all your promotion around the release of that episode. So, you know, there's an episode ranking list in iTunes, top episode ranking, which doesn't kick in until 24 hours after the episode is first launched. And then there's the top 200 list for the podcasts themselves, and that's based on number of new subscribers, which again is 7 days, last 7 days, weighted average, 24, 48, 72 hours. Focus all your promotion when that episode goes live. You know, send out the tweets, the Facebook messages, the LinkedIn stuff, anything you have in social media, any email list you have, blast it all. If you're in a Google Plus community or a Facebook community, pump it in there. Don't wait, don't stagger. Do everything right away. As soon as you're done with that launch, as soon as you're done with that episode, you hit it, you uploaded it, you hit publish. That's when your marketing kicks in for the week. Get it done. And then after that, rely on your audience to do the marketing for you and then get back working on your content. So 90% content, 10% marketing, and that 10% marketing should be right after your episode goes live.
I've seen a lot of comments as well about how important the first 8 weeks of your new show are your first 8 weeks any more important than, say, the next 80 or 800 weeks?
The first 8 weeks are only important with regards to gaming iTunes so that you can get your show featured in New and Noteworthy in a subcategory or a category, but not the main page and not comedy, because comedy and the front page are 100% hand curated, has nothing to do with 8 weeks. That has nothing to do with anything other than the folks at Apple deciding they want to feature you in the New and Noteworthy. The other subcategories, there is an algorithm based on number of new subscribers and ratings and reviews. And then, yeah, there is a way to play up in that. Does it hurt to get featured in New and Noteworthy? No, obviously not. Anytime you get any promotion, that's great. Should you quit your podcast, shut it down and launch a new podcast because you weren't featured in the first 8 weeks? Absolutely not. And I've seen people actually do that. They've actually shut their show down, relaunched it as a brand new show because they didn't get featured in the first 8 weeks. My words leave me because I can't say anything that's not explicit at that point. you know, I'm trying to be G-rated, but there is such bad advice to podcasters. The 8 weeks is minimal importance. What is more important is long-term, and long-term is about creating great content. And people hate to hear that. They don't want to hear about an Aaron Mankey from Lore who spends 35 hours per episode working on the episode. They want to hear that they're doing an hour-long episode. They can put an hour and 10 minutes into that episode, spend 50 minutes on it, promoting it, and that's all they have to do. And they think they're going to grow this great show. It's not. You're not. You have to put a lot of work, time, and effort into growing a show. And it's around the content. And you have to put the hours in. There's no shortcuts. There's no magic silver bullets. There's no secret in any of those webinars that people sell or mastermind groups they want to charge you to join. You're not going to learn anything in there other than how to make money off of other podcasters by offering them bad advice. Because that's what a lot of these people do. They go into a mastermind group, they get ripped off, and then they go, well, I see how I can make money. I'm going to go rip off other podcasters by offering them bad advice and bad webinars and bad mastermind groups. You know, it's people trying to sell pickaxes made out of celery. And they think, okay, that's how they're going to make money in this gold rush. The only way to really be successful, and I hate to say it, is to work hard and have talent. If you don't have talent, you're not willing to work hard, there is no amount of marketing you can do that's going to make your show successful.
Just moving back to Libsyn again, a lot of podcasters, obviously, when they've been going for a wee while, they're getting decent numbers. It makes sense to start thinking about monetization. That's something that Libsyn can help you with, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have ad sales capability. So if your show and the advertisers we work with like to see a minimum of 5,000 downloads per episode. So if your show is getting over 5,000, typically it's U.S. downloads. Most campaigns are U.S. centric. You have some global ones. But if you're getting over 5,000 per episode, contact me, rob@libsyn.com. And if you're not with us or if you are with us, let me know and we can start helping you get advertising on your show. I mean, it's great. If this is your hobby, and I hear this from podcasters all the time, you know, I started this as a hobby. Like we had this one podcast, there are four guys that do video game podcasts. And they only started it so that they had an excuse to get away from the wives. They all got married. They were friends in college. And this was a chance for them to get away from the wives once a week and do this podcast. And it clicked and it took off. And now they make money. So their man cave has got all kinds of cool stuff in it. And you know, they're having fun with it. And that's the beauty of podcasting. There is a chance where you could make money. Now, it's about a 1 in 11 chance. And if you're only getting into it to make money, you know, you may be better off going to the track and putting the money down on the ponies. You're going to get better odds. But if you start for the right reasons, which is you have something passionate you want to talk about or a message you want to get out or a story you want to get out for audio dramas, you might become the next Dr. Floyd or the next Welcome to the Night Vale or the next T. Morris or Merle Lafferty. So it's a great medium and there's nothing to hold you back from getting your show out except yourself and bad advice from some of these groups.
With a podcaster, when you set up a website, if you're checking out a new show and you go on their website, what are some of the things that you're immediately looking for on that site?
Easy ways to subscribe or find that show in many different medium or services. You want to see a link to iTunes. You want to see a link to the Google Play Music. You want to see a link to the iHeartRadio page. You want to see it to the Stitcher page, the TuneIn page. Different places where their podcast is, where people might be consuming content, you want to have links to that. A link to the RSS feed so that they can subscribe to the podcast. If you've got a smartphone app, a link to those apps. People are everywhere. And I always like to say podcast listeners are like cats. Don't think you're going to herd the cats to any one specific place to listen to your show. You just need to have a lot of catnip and spread it around. And then let people listen to your content wherever they want to. Podcast listeners are very independent. You're not going to herd them into your website. You're not going to herd them into this third-party site. You want to have your content where they are, not try to bring them to where your content is.
Just moving towards getting us wrapped up, like we talk about audio drama and make audio drama. We're on this show nearly every week. And to us, it looks like there's a real explosion in fiction podcasts and audio dramas at the moment. It seems like something that's really picking up. Is that something that you've noticed sort of in the wider podcasting space at all?
I mean, there was an article recently in Wired where they talked about Welcome to the Night Vale launching the whole fiction podcast segment. And that was so bad. I mean, it was probably one of the worst articles I've read. There's always been audio drama fiction stories all the way back to the beginning of podcasting with Merle Lafferty and Scott Sigler and T. Morris and J.C. Hutchins and Seth Hardwood. There has always been fictional stories, Radio Ventures of Dr. Floyd. For Wired to go and say to Welcome to the Night Vale that basically they started this, that's like going up to J.J. Abrams and saying, hey, we love the Star Wars movie you just did. How do you feel about launching this whole sci-fi genre in movies? And if that sounds ridiculous, that's as ridiculous as saying that Welcome to the Night Vale kicked off podcasting genre for fiction. Now, don't get me wrong. Welcome to the Night Vale is a great, great podcast, but it didn't start audio fiction podcasts, audio dramas. There have been them for 12 years. Since podcasting started, there have been audio drama podcasts. I mean, Scott Sigler or Earthcore and all the books and all the stuff he did, it's been there since the beginning. Welcome to the Night Vale just did it really well, but it wasn't in any way, shape, or form the first or even close to the first. It's just growing. I mean, it's a genre that has interest and it's growing.
I mean, I think it's definitely good when we see these articles that brings people's attention to the fact that that it exists, but I did see one. I don't know if it was maybe the same one that you're talking about. That's, it basically said fiction podcasts are now a thing in 2016. And I consider myself new to podcast and audio drama because I started doing it in about 2011. And even then, you know, there were shows like We're Alive going since 2009, Radio Drama Revival 2007. I think the Sonic Society was 2004 or 5.
2004, yep.
So, yeah, it's been around a long time. I suppose it's just like you don't want to shoot someone down in flames if they're drawing attention to the medium. But at the same time, it can be a bit frustrating if they've just not maybe researched the fact that, you know, it's been around a while.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to Nightfell. Incredible podcast, great listenership, great content. But they'll tell you they didn't invent the genre. And Wired comes in and they do a very poorly written article with no research and no real understanding of the medium. That's not good for anybody because it misrepresents what's really gone on and it frustrates people. So we want people to report on the medium, but we want them to report on it accurately and take some time and do some research. Don't just, well, hey, someone gave me this article I got to write and I got 30 minutes. Okay, let me not do any research and just make some stuff up, because that's really what the Wired article was. I mean, it wasn't, there was no journalistic efforts put into that, I'll tell you that much.
Some of your favorite types articles that you've talked about in the past, the fact that podcasting, the name podcasting is holding podcasting back, or the RSS feed is holding podcasting back. These are articles that you enjoy reading, aren't they?
Oh, man. The easiest way to tell if an article is going to be bad is if they dog on the name podcast. For some reason, still 12 years in on this, people want to put down the name. I don't get it. It is what it is. Apple calls it podcasting. Microsoft calls it podcasting. Google calls it podcasting. I think we can pretty much say game over. And then the RSS feed has been the recent one where people want to change it. And their basic idea is they want to create API-based consumption, not because that's what the end users want, but because that's what advertisers want. So they're designing these systems that are 100% geared towards advertising. And it's crazy to think that people are going to say, you know what, the podcast app is working for me okay, but I'm just not hearing enough advertising on the podcast I listen to. Maybe I should move over to this third-party solution that doesn't have as much content in it and delivers a lot more advertising in the episodes I listen to that are stitched in and don't fit the content. And if that sounds like a ridiculous idea, yes. Yes, it is.
I know it's always dodgy to make predictions, but what are you sort of hoping for in the next year, the next 5 years? Just the continuation of sort of slow and gradual, steady growth for the medium?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not looking for hockey stick movement. I'm looking for growth, steady growth, which is what we've seen year over year, quarter over quarter. Been in this space for 12 years. You know, Libsyn has been in this place for 12 years as well. And we plan to be in it for another 12 and another 12 beyond that. We're looking for a long-term, steady growth in podcasting. It's not a fad. We're not looking for hockey stick growth. We don't think it's realistic in this medium. It's a long-form audio content medium. It's not viral. It's not cat videos. It's not kids getting hit in the crotch with skateboards. This is long-form content, and long-form content takes a while for growth to happen on a per-show basis. And for word to get out there. And more people are consuming podcasts. It's becoming part of their lives. And that's a good thing. And every time Edison does these research reviews of how many people are consuming podcasts, the numbers are going up. And the numbers are going up. And more people tell their friends, have you listened to this podcast? Have you listened to that podcast? And it just becomes part of culture and everyday life. And that's what I want for podcasting. It's just to become ubiquitous.
Any plans, Libsyn plans in the pipeline for the near future?
Our goal at Libsyn, again, is for a podcaster to say to their audience, find my show everywhere but Pandora. But we want to make sure any place people are listening to audio content that you can find, they can find your podcast. So be it Google Play Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever people are consuming audio content, we want podcasts to be there with them on devices when they ask for podcasts for it to pop up. We want to be part of that whole ecosystem, have the apps out there everywhere people can possibly find your content for you to be able to get your content out to.
Rob, it's been a real pleasure to chat. I appreciate you taking the time. Where can the listener catch up with you and Libsyn for all the latest news and the stuff that you're getting up to?
If you want to listen to the podcast I'm on for Libsyn, it's called The Feed, and you can just go to thefeed.libsyn.com or search The Feed Libsyn in iTunes. So three words, The Feed and Libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N, and you'll find that podcast. You can also find me on Podcast 411. So if you just search for Podcast 411 in iTunes or go to podcast411.com, you can find my show there. And then I also have one called Today in iOS, cover all things iOS. So those are where you can catch up, or you can just email me if you have questions about podcasting, and it's Rob, R-O-B, at libsyn.com, L-I-B-S-Y-N, and I'm glad to answer any questions anybody listening has about podcasting.
Lovely stuff. A huge thanks to Rob for taking the time to chat, and I'd really encourage you to subscribe to Libsyn's podcast, The Feed. There's tons of great info about the medium on there every 2 weeks, and it jumps right to the top of my playlist every time they release a new episode. And whilst I'm recommending stuff to subscribe to, I found another podcast a few days ago called Out on the Wire by Jessica Abel. You might recognise the title because it's also a book and one that we mentioned on this show a few weeks ago. So the podcast, like the book, is about storytelling. And having heard the first two episodes, I can confirm that it's well worth your listening time. I really can't recommend it enough. In fact, you should get your phone out and subscribe to it right now. But don't switch me off just yet, though. Have you heard of 11th Hour Audio Productions? This was something that started in the New England area last year in the lead up to World Audio Drama Day on the 30th of October. A bunch of audio dramatists got together to write, record and produce a one-off audio drama story in the month of October. It's happening again this year in different areas around the world, so if you fancy getting involved yourself, have a wee look for the link in this episode's show notes. You could either join an existing group or start your own, and if you think you're too short on time, well, that's the whole idea. Honestly, we don't even have a story yet in the East Central Scotland division, so need to get to work on that. Finally, for this week's episode, though, do you have a promo trailer for your audio drama or fiction podcast? Well, I've added a section to the site at audiodramaproduction.com called the Audio Drama Trailer Park. The idea behind it is to provide a place where you can upload your own trailer to help you find new listeners, download other trailers to play at the start or end of your show, or to simply discover new shows that you might not have heard before. I'll put a link to the trailer park in the show notes as well, where you'll also find instructions on how to submit your trailer. The key factor here is that we'd like it to be 2 minutes or less. And if you've not got a promo trailer for your show already, this is the perfect excuse to go and make one. Anyway, that's enough from me. Thanks very much for listening. You can find us at audiodramaproduction.com, and remember, you can get a free month at Libsyn by using the coupon code ADPP if you're in the market for somewhere to host your show. Cheerio for now.